Welcome back. Episode 3, Mad Balls Madcast. It's just me, myself, and I tonight at the Evident residence. Just hanging out, checking out the podcast numbers lately. Doing pretty damn good. Ranked 2905 on the Podomatic website. Doing good. We are in the comedy category. We moved up to ranked 90th. I just gotta get your guys' asses over here to start following me, so start downloading it, adding it to the iTunes. Check out my blog. I'm Blogger, Mad Balls Madcast. But yeah, to update you from last week, I mean, we ran it about my job driving me up a fucking wall and Blockbuster going out of business, and you know, now they're bought by now. So, you know, I think it was Dish Network or somebody like that bought them off. So they are no more video stores to really speak of, unless you got personally owned video stores around your neck of the woods. A lot of upset people around here. A lot of people like the Netflix, but they still like, you know, the human interaction, talking to people, getting to ask what their opinions are about movies. Even though a lot of people might not like our opinions about our movies, because we get that a lot from you guys. A lot of people don't like our opinions on the movies, but you know what I mean. We do watch them. You guys ask us for the opinions, but you don't like what we say. It's funny. But that's cool. We're going to get together for this weekend for the last hurrah for the crew that worked at that store. And let's see. Well, to update you on the situation at my full-time job, that was hilarious. Went in. Talked to the main boss on Friday after the podcast I did Thursday evening. I thought it over. I was like, I'll go in, talk to the owner, the main honcho. Talk to him, see how he feels about the whole situation. See if I can talk to him in any sense without people yelling at me and cutting me off. So went in, talked to him. You know, we bumped heads a little bit, but you know what I mean. Overall, you know, he understood where I came from, and I told him, you know, I was like, you know, if I gotta lose my raise to, because I'm not gonna do any of the extra work, that's fine, you know, I'm willing to cut my nose off to spite my face, as they say. You know, I told him that's what I wanted. He asked me what I wanted, and that's what I said. I was like, come Monday, you know, if the case is that you want me back here, you know, a half an hour earlier, you know, I don't take a break, I don't, you know, I'm working over, you know, damn near 8 hours a day, you know, if not a break, that's fine, you know, I'll get mine, but I don't want to do any of the extra shit, so, you know, we came to an agreement Friday morning. He was fine with that, I was fine with that, we walked away satisfied, you know. Worked that day, did a great job, got back there like 10:01, something like that, crazy, you know, they wanted me back earlier, got back there plenty of time earlier, and as I'm leaving, you know, somebody says that the boss lady wants to know if I'm doing my extra work on Monday, and if so, to make sure that I put the supplies in the cooler, and I just said, I think you're crazy, I just talked to your dad. I didn't say you're crazy, I mean, but I said, I was like, you know, I told her, I went up there, I was like, I talked to your dad this morning, you know, and as of Monday, I won't be doing the extra work anymore, but I mean, I will put the stuff in the cooler for whoever is, and she did not like that. I assume that he must not have said something to her, and so they, you know, she just snapped on me, told me that I can't tell her what I am, what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do, which I don't know. I said, this is the real world. I mean, you know, you might be able to tell other people, you know, where to go and how to get there, but unfortunately, you know, I have plenty of work history, and I have too many options. I've been in the Army for 8 years, I was in Civil Air Patrol, I was in all kinds of stuff when I was growing up, I've got so many, my resume is quite extensive over these years, so I'm not stuck like some other people, so you can't just talk to me any which way you want. So I told her, I was like, that's not, I'm sorry, I already, that's how it's going to be. And she says, oh, come Monday, you're not going to be doing this, you're not going to be doing that, you can just come in and work like 3-4 hours and go home afterwards. To make my point, I was like, that's fine, I'll go home and start working on my resume, that's not, not an issue. So, oh, that doesn't sit well with others, when they're already pissed off at you. they're already mad that you're not doing what they want you to do. And then on top of that, you are resourceful and you know that you'll be alright. You'll land on your feet. I'm far from a cat, though. I might, I might land on my side a little, but I'll be alright. And so, come Monday, I went down, had a great weekend with the girlfriend, Felt satisfied Friday evening when I left work. Much better than I did Thursday, man. Thursday night after the podcast, couldn't sleep. Got heartburn from thinking too much about how much how all the stuff I had to say, all the stuff I wanted to talk about, I was, it just blows my mind, because I was like, I get in to Sayre, which is upstate Pennsylvania, New York, almost right on the border. It's 98 miles from my hometown in Williamsport, and I drive there, and I usually get out of Sayre, leaving Sayre around 11:15, 11:20 sometimes, depending on the day. And I just think it's hilarious, 98 miles that I travel at 55 miles an hour on the highway, and then on top of that, you got towns and stuff like that, and the gas lines that are going up here, then the Marcellus Shale shit, that's going on around here. And, they're not taking into consideration any traffic, anything. They want me to drive 98 miles from Sayre to Williamsport in under 2 hours. They want me to do it in like an hour and a half, damn near less than that, I don't understand how they're thinking, But, come Monday, when I got back, I went, like I said, went down, had a good time with the girlfriend. She left for Jamaica on Sunday with her family, her parents, and her two little ones. Very excited for them. I was kind of freaked out, though, because that's the first time she's ever left. And not being able to at least contact each other. We contact each other a little bit through text messages, but it was few and far between, not being able to talk to each other, but we've had this long distance relationship now for quite some time. We've been together for 2 years, known each other for at least three, maybe almost four, been through a lot. She lives in Maryland, I live in Williamsport, it's about a 2.5 hour drive. We've been doing that for 2 years, it's happy as hell. So she left for Jamaica, and she comes back today, actually, when this, she'll probably be back in her town by the time the podcast hits, hopefully. Haven't talked to her this evening yet, so we shall see. It might be tomorrow. Who knows? Who knows? Looking forward to hearing how her trip was. But Monday rolls around. I get back to work. I go in at 6:30 like I was told. I'd go in at 6:30. I work the line like I was told. Come 7 o'clock, I was told to get off the line. And I kind of questioned as to why. I was told I was working the line for a few hours and then coming home. But they decided, no, I was going to run my route as we had discussed on Friday morning. So it made me quite happy to know that, the decision was, that we had made that morning stuck, because, it was the smarter decision. They want to fix a problem, But they, you know, fixing the problem, getting rid of me does not fix the problem. It only makes the problem worse. So luckily they saw my point, and I was still on my route this week, and things are much better. You know, I've had to I've had to keep an eye on my back, of course, because she is not happy. I mean, I feel bad that she had to swallow her pride, and I don't think it's her fault at all. You know, I mean, we wouldn't have bumped heads at all had you know, communication lines not been down. And, but I'm glad that we could come to an equal decision and everybody's happy without somebody losing their job or, you know, getting mad and saying something that we all would regret. And so, much happier now, using the, extra time to do this, the podcast, Madcast, as they say, Madballs Madcast. I figured I'd use this one to, fill you in on the details as to what had happened with the confrontation at the job. I had one of my helpers up in one of my senior centers said I was his hero. Cracks me up. I was like, "Your hero? I'm the farthest thing from a hero. Please, you know, I'm not a model citizen. I try to live my life by some sort of guidelines, but I'm far from perfect or a hero. I don't consider myself completely a good role model. You know, I definitely think you can look at my past and, you know, decide what you can and should do and shouldn't do, you know, because I've made my mistakes and I've also made my achievements. You know, so I'm looking forward to the future. I don't dwell on the past, so I don't have to worry about that kind of shit. We will look forward to the jetpacks, you know? Jetpacks and aliens and who knows what's coming. You know, we got, what was it, another 7.5. They said it was a tremor. 7.5 tremor off the coast of Japan. How can you call a 7.5 a tremor when that's considered an earthquake around here? I would think that's not an aftershock, more of a another earthquake. 7.5 is pretty freaking high for California, anywhere else around here. So I would just chalk that up to, you know, another earthquake. I don't know exactly what's been going on. It's definitely. I think there's a lot of people, a lot of scientists that are working hard to try and figure out why. You know, there's so many of these earthquakes lately. You know, every month, you know, lately there's been a ton of them, and they're not little tremors and stuff like that. I mean, look at it, you know, we've had two tsunamis in, you know, a couple, you know, in a year's time and stuff like that. You know, it's getting really bad. Nature is definitely wreaking havoc as of late. You know, we got a lot of craziness going on. You got the not only Mother Nature and the Earth, you know, shaking and moving, you know, causing havoc and snowstorms burying people and just you got, you know, we have wars in just about every country, you know, except for maybe Great Britain. But even that's just, you know, that's right on the coastline. I mean, we got Mexico. That has not been a topic that has been discussed hardly at all, which doesn't make any sense to me. You know, why everybody just kind of, we're over in Libya worrying about this, that, and the other thing, but we got people over in Mexico just getting butchered and things going, you know, crazy, and they're connected to us. You know, it's like I said to my dad earlier today, it's like, you know, why didn't we get a hint from the Chinese and build a concrete wall down there, since that seems to, you know, work a little better than that chain link thing? You know, you'd think that would have come up years ago. You know, put that sucker in the ground about 6 foot, you know, bury it, cement that fucker in. I think you'll notice if the Mexicans get a backhoe up there, you know, and start digging. Come on. You know, like, there's a reason why we leave things you know, as the way they are. I think there's a portion of the government that's like, you know, we got to keep them out, but we don't need to keep them all out because, you know, then that also takes away from some of our cheaper labor, you know, that we get, and, you know, we got to turn a blind eye. But we'll catch enough to keep the public happy that, you know, basically we're keeping the border safe, I think. I think it's, you know, a kind of sleight of hand down there. You know, it's like, well, we're down there, we patrol, but we you know, we let through just enough so that our numbers don't go too, fluctuate too much. You know, plus we all know, you know, we don't want to fuck up our drug trade either, because, you know, we probably probably buy most of the world's drugs, a lot of them. Lord knows there's a lot of people with the problems. I mean, look, Charlie Sheen, this shit, he's making money off of his problem. One of the few people that can, you know. I don't know. Tell me what. This world's getting crazy. I don't know. There's so much news all the time, you know, people talking about the economy and this and that, and it just keeps me interested, keeps me humble as to what may be coming, may not be coming, who cares, just live your life, keep going, keep trudging on, doing what you do, you know, enjoy it while it lasts. Alright, well, let's see, like I said, let's start touching on, you know, some of my past, some of the things that I've done to get to know me, Chad, Evidon, a little bit better. You know, I used to, let's see, when I was 13, first job was a paper route, you know, paper route for 2-3 years, you know, 16 was guide civil air patrol. If anybody doesn't know what that is, it's like an Air Force type auxiliary thing. You know, I was always kind of into the whole military. I just like, you know, airplanes and guns and the whole rank. I like pushing myself, and I like the idea of it. I don't know. There was always a part of me that always liked being a part of something greater, thinking I was part of something greater. The Civil Air Patrol was part of search and rescue for downed airplanes and things. They're still running today. They still run. People might have heard of them. They still, you know, used to be able to get a grant if you achieved a certain level while you were there. You know, the Amelia Earhart Award. You'd get usually a lot of places looked highly upon that because you study a lot of aeronautical, you know, engineering and planes and, you know, all kinds of physics and thrust and things. It was a very, very interesting ride. I was there till I could, 16, 17, I think. Couldn't stay there beyond that, or you had to become a senior officer, you know. And I was too young, just had, you know, college coming, things, and other ideas. So I pursued it as long as I could. I achieved a couple medals, a couple achievements, got out with the most improved first-year cadet, I believe. I have a pretty big, nice trophy from that, you know. And, let's see. Got busted a few times with some marijuana after that. Went to college out in Wyoming, Laramie, Wyoming, to WyoTech for collision and refinishing technology. Experimented with a lot of craziness out there, you know. Did my own thing for a long time out there. Just, fuck, man. Drove 1,800 miles. We drove cross-country out there. Christmas of 2001. I graduated in 2000. December of 2001, me and my friend, George Sober, and his dad and another buddy of mine, Brent, all drove 1,800 miles cross country to Wyoming, Laramie, Wyoming. Most insane trip I've ever taken. Got stuck in a blizzard in Chicago. Almost ended up on the side of the highway, stuck in my truck for days. You know, I had all my stuff. Crazy snowstorm. Got all the way out there alive. My buddy's driving his IROC Z Camaro in the middle of a complete whiteout. Couldn't even see to the other side of the highway when we were driving out there. That's how bad, you know, the snow was flying. You know, I have pictures. Someday I'll have to scan them all, get them all up there, put them up on the podcast website. You guys will really get a chance to see some of these, some of the old photos if I can bust them out and find them all. Get some old pictures of the hippie Chad. I have tons of me, long hair, crazy looking, high pictures. Just having a good time at that time. That was when I was still in the reserves at that time, 2001. I joined the reserves when I was 17, in high school, when I was a junior in high school. I went away for boot camp at Fort Benning, Georgia, Charlie 247, back in, I think that was, what would have been, I was, what, 18, 17, so it would have been 1998 was when I jumped into the whole military structure, tried that. That was interesting, you know, going through boot camp, watching guys snapping, you know, losing their minds. I had a couple guys, you know, we had one guy at AWOL, he made it all the way to Texas. They brought him right back within the same week. And he was sitting on his bunk, you know, waiting to get reprocessed to go right back through what he didn't want to go through. Guys, you know, just breaking down, crying, not being able to take it anymore. You know, watching. Oh, man. At age 17, I look back on it. It's like, man, that was the craziest idea I could have ever had. Sorry about that. That was the iPod. Yeah, Atlanta at the New York Rangers just started actually. That's 7 o'clock Eastern time if you're over here on the east side. If you're on the west side, that would be what, 4 o'clock I think your time. So but anyhow, like I said, sorry for deviating from the story, but like I said, but the, you know, 17, you know, first time really leaving home without anybody. I mean, you know, I didn't sign up with any friends or anything like that, so nobody went down to Georgia with me, so that was quite a culture shock to go and jump right into you know, a structure, like quite a restructuring, basically. You know, it was me trying to get my ass back on track, you know, because I had quite a couple run-ins with the law, you know, when I was real young. Like, I'd been caught up for, you know, shoplifting, all that kind of good stuff, you know. All the things that little kids do when they're, you know, they want something but they don't have the money and all that kind of good shit, you know. But I learned my lesson. And, you know, but it like I said, if I look back on it, I wouldn't change it. It still makes me who I am today. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't respect some of the things that I respect with the laws and why we have some of that stuff. But, you know, graduated from boot camp, went back to high school, came back, went back that summer for AIT, which is the Advanced Individual Training for the Army. Went to Fort Lee, Virginia. Became a water purification specialist, which was, you know, Pauly Shore in the Army Now movie. You know, they make fun of that shit. That's it's quite the movie. I've dealt with that for the whole time that I've my military career. You know, everybody that hears your job title, they're like, "Are you kidding me?" you're seriously, you know, that you do exactly what he did in that movie? You're like, yeah. But it is so far harder than what they make it look like in the movie. It is way harder, and it's a crucial portion of, you know, the military's structure. It's pretty cool. I mean, when we're, you know, well, it's not cool, because actually in Iraq, you know, when the Iraq war started, I mean, the supply people were getting nailed on those, you know, those convoys. You know, was in for quite some time. Just got out of college. I was in the reserves for like 2-3 years, and then right as I got out of college, I moved down to Virginia Beach. Just started a new job, you know, at a body shop. No, didn't even start there. The next day was my first day, and that morning I woke up, and that was when 9/11 had happened. I was sitting in the hotel. My mom had called me. Sat there and watched the second plane hit, you know, sitting there wondering, like, what the hell is going on and where is my life going now? Because I really expected me to be going back to Williamsport, you know, not being able to start my new job, going back to Williamsport, probably getting activated with my reserve unit, you know, probably heading to either Pittsburgh or New York to help with that. Surprisingly enough, nothing. Didn't get called. They activated the unit. They didn't send them out, but they activated them. They put Constantina wire out. They had people guarding the rooftops and things, you know, while the heightened state of alert was going on. And but I had stayed down there and I'd talked to my mom, and I, you know, I remember crying, just like, are you, like, what is gonna happen now? Thinking about all my, a lot of my Army friends that are going to be activated, you know, I've lost quite a few, and it's, you know, it comes with the territory, but, I guess I don't know if it had to be done or what, but that's a whole nother podcast. We'll get into that. Anyhow, you know, but, I got activated twice to go to Iraq. It was the second tour that was going out to go to Iraq was the tour that I got first activated on. Didn't get actually sent to Iraq, but went through all of the training seminars that they had. They had like an express, you know, training guideline that they had sent over from just people that were over there within the first 6 months. That, you know, what they were experiencing, what we needed to know to go over there, and what to protect yourself with, because we were so, you know, we were so unprepared for how they were hitting us with these IEDs, and, you know, just hitting the convoys as hard as they were when it first started. You know, we didn't have any of the armor. We had to use flat jackets and things like that to armor up your Humvees. Against grenades and shrapnel and armor and bullets and things, you know, they really were not quite prepared for what the way we had gotten attacked, you know. So we went through all that paintball training on convoys, trying to prepare units that were going out that were going to be, you know, and how, I mean, it was some of those training seminars were slaughters that people just got nailed, and you're like sitting there thinking, you know, you're laughing, having a good time playing paintball, but this is no joke. You know, if this was a real, if you were over there right now, you're dead. You're all dead. I mean, that whole convoy just became destroyed, and they just took down, you know, all a full tanker truck of, you know, petroleum and 30,000 gallons of water. You know, 30,000 gallons of water. How many soldiers is that gonna, you know, supply for how many days? It was insane. Didn't ever got activated, never got sent over for that one. Then I think maybe a year or maybe like 8-10 months later, I got activated again to go over and put on the list. But never got sent over, surprisingly. I was so lucky. Never got sent over. And then after that, my contract came up, and I was about 22, 23, and that was when I said, you know what, I think I had enough. I really, over the last 2 years with being on the list to go over there twice, you know, the nerves. As much as I wanted to serve my country, I served my country, and I think my purpose is elsewhere. I don't think my purpose is to go over and kill people. I think my purpose is here, doing whatever it is I do, whether it be this podcast, making people laugh, whatever, keeping my girlfriend happy, keeping her kids happy. I do that pretty well. Eh, she may beg to differ. We'll have to do a podcast on that. But she definitely has her opinions of me. She's straight Irish. Good girl. Good girl. You guys are all love her. Hope McGreevy. She'll be on one of the podcasts one of these times. She's dying to get on one. After the army, once I got out of the army, then I focused on my body work, coming out of collision and refinishing technology. You know, I was working at the body shop down in Virginia Beach for 6 months. Didn't go as well as I'd planned. Should have taken the job in Palm Springs. Got a job offer out in Palm Springs right after I accepted the offer from Virginia Beach. Virginia Beach was Hendrick's Motorsports. That's what sold me on that, was the fact that I was going to be working under, you know, one of the bigger companies, Hendrick's Motorsports, in Colonial Chevrolet and all that, you know, down in Virginia Beach. So I took that one. Kind of kicked my ass for that, because I didn't last there more than like 6 or 8 months, man. Me and my body shop manager, we did not get along. We bumped heads constantly. He thought it'd be funny to play a joke about me supposedly ogling his wife, which I guess, you know, he was very protective of his wife. She's very intelligent, very good looking, very young. I guess that's him making up for some short, you know, this in his flaw in his personality. I don't know, that he doesn't feel comfortable that he's, you know, enough to keep her around. I don't know. But the one day, you know, thought he'd be funny, just strung a joke out all day, had everybody in the body shop in on it, just saying, oh yeah, you ogled my wife, who the fuck do you think you are, you know, just kept it going, had a lot of people in on it, had me very upset, you know, didn't even break it for the whole day. I mean, went through lunch, the whole thing. And finally, at the end of the day, or before I left, he's like, do you seriously think I was really serious? I, you didn't do, and I'm like, you know, there's a point in time when a joke just isn't, you know, you don't play a joke all day long and expect the person to be like, ha ha, at the end. You know, when you strung them along to the point where they were so upset that they were just like, what do you want me to do? You know, what, I don't even know what your wife looks like, for that matter, you know, but try to convince him of that. Because he acted like he was very pissed off at me, like he was ready to go to fisticuffs, you know, over this shit. Let's take this outside and duke it out like some old folks, you know, some old boys back on the street, you know. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck. He was from Kansas City. Kansas City, these boys were all from Kansas City. I got transferred down there, and they had all gotten transferred from Kansas City to this body shop. They were, it's like 4 or 5 of them, I think, that ran the same shop, and they all got transferred. That's why I didn't like it in the first place, because once one of them didn't like me, then they all didn't like me. So there was no getting around the fact that, you know, I pissed him off, and now nobody likes me. So I didn't expect to last their move. But needless to say, I'm resourceful. 6 months in, they fired me, or, you know, said wasn't coming back from Christmas vacation. You know, went home for vacation, came back, and they said, oh, we didn't think you were coming back. So we had already processed your termination, which, you know, to try and fight that, I thought it was hilarious. I tried, but it didn't work out in my favor. Didn't surprise me in the least bit either. So I moved to North Carolina. Lived in North Carolina for, another 8 or 10 months. Worked at a JCPenney's distribution. Drove my 1984 Dodge Ram pickup that I had driven for the past 4 or 5 years. I drove it all the way out to Wyoming and back, you know. Had almost 300,000 miles on that truck. Slant 6, 4-speed, you know, full-size short bed, old truck, man. Drove that forever. Gotten a little fender bender down in Virginia Beach, you know, leaked a little bit of antifreeze, but nothing too major, you know, kept the baby running. Well, on my way from Virginia Beach to North Carolina, made it, oh, what was it, about 12 miles from my brother's house when my truck decides to blow up, basically. It threw a rod, if you know what the, you know, how an engine works. It's the rod that pushes the, to get, let the fuel into the engine. The rod, that rod had gone out through the side. Through the side of my engine while I was driving, so it started smoking like, oh, how to put it, like a chimney fire. It just poured out of the underside of my truck, you know, just poured out. I drove that truck 12 miles to my brother's house, knocking and just smoking the whole way. I looked like some hillbilly from PA. It fit the stereotype to a T, you know. The old Dodge Ram pickup truck with this guy from Pennsylvania just smoking and just knocking the whole way through town, stopping at every, getting hit almost every red light, and sitting there turning off the truck, you know, shifting it into neutral. Looking, watching the other light, waiting for it to turn yellow, turning the truck on, hitting the gas, shifting it, you know, just barreling ass down the highway, trying to get to my brother's house without my truck dying on the side of the fucking road, you know, or the engine just dropping out. I don't know what was going to happen. So I got it to my brother's house, needless to say, without it dying completely. Sat it there, explained to him what had happened, you know, and, you know, I hadn't had the job yet at JCPenney's when that had happened, so we were okay, but then I got the job not long after I'd lived there, like maybe a month, not even, after I'd lived there that I got the job at JCPenney's. Well, luckily, my brother was nice enough to let me use his Jeep Grand Cherokee for a little while he used his other vehicle. I think it was a van at the time, or something of that matter, like a van. To travel back and forth to work. I had an apartment and everything, and travel back and forth to work. And needless to say, well, he needed to trade that vehicle about 6 or 8 months into to me living and working in North Carolina. He sold the truck, sold the Jeep. I told him, I said, well, I tell you right now, that truck isn't going to last more than a day or two. I said, the way that thing's smoking, he said, I don't know what to tell you. He's like, I can't really, you know, help you out anymore. I said, all right. It lasted, let's see, I made it to work and back, and about halfway to work that following a day and a half after that. You know, made it almost to work, and then a big, going down the highway, big old puff of smoke comes out the front of the truck and goes up over the hood. And that was where I said, okay, I've had enough. I'm not going to drive it any farther, because if the engine blows, seizes up, I could be in way worse shape, you know, than I am now. So pulled it off the side of the highway, called the brother, told him, hey, unfortunately, the truck is no longer. It is sitting along the side of the road. I'm walking to work, and I'm going to need you to pick my ass up. So I called him, picked me up, you know, and what is it, like 2 weeks after that, I moved back to Pennsylvania, because just wasn't going to work out in my favor, so I couldn't pay my bills, couldn't pay my rent, and my student loans, and get a new vehicle, all on what I was making, you know, at JCPenney's at the time, which, so, you know, so... Unfortunately, I was forced to move back to Pennsylvania and start over, all over again, man. I've started over so many times, it's not even funny. You know, so just came back, started over, and ever since I've been back, it's been a roller coaster ride, you know. Worked for UPS, worked for all kinds of jobs, you know, welding, Blockbuster twice, you know, driving a lot of my jobs involved delivery for a long time, you know, UPS, my job now, driving for Meals on Wheels, you know, delivery driver. It's not for Meals on Wheels per se, but we supply that type of food. girlfriend just landed, just got back into Maryland from Jamaica. So cool, good thing. Glad to know that she's safe and back in town, and no robbings or you know, rapings or anything like that has gone down. Hopefully not. I don't know. I haven't heard from her. Find out. You know. So I don't know. I've been talking for quite some time. It, you know, that's, you know, kind of my story was, you know, just, you know, got back to Pennsylvania, learned a lot along the way for that, you know, year's stretch, you know, and now I'm wrestling with, thoughts of trying, stand-up comedy out, but I know that's going to require some sacrifice and some real contemplation, some real, thinking of putting my eggs all in one basket, that, you know, putting myself in a position where I could fall again. You know, I've fallen many times before and picked myself back up, but this time, you know, am I willing to sacrifice it all and on the chance that I could fall again, but this time it'd be my own fall. At least I put myself in that position, you know, where it's like, well, if you didn't make it, well, at least you tried it, and it was your own damn fault. You know, it's not somebody else's fault, you know, or somebody trying to, just doesn't like your attitude, you know. So, we'll see. I love the podcast. The podcast is slowly but surely becoming an entity. You know, I'm going to stay up on this, get you guys new episodes every week. Please jump on, follow me, you know, download, subscribe through iTunes, through Podomatic.com, you know, Madballs Madcast, Podomatic.com. Stop on there, follow me, check out the episodes. We're going to have some more episodes. I'm uploading some pictures. There's some pictures of me and the girlfriend up there, me and the motorcycle, some nice pics, some hiking pictures, some goofy ones. I'll get some more personal ones that I wanted to get up there now, because I wanted you guys to be able to see me and see my girlfriend and see kind of my personal side, you know, get to know me a little bit more. That's why I decided to do the lone podcast this time, so that way I can talk and just, you know, uninterrupted from anybody else, and you guys can kind of get to know Madball, as they, you know, some of my friends decide they want to call me, you know. I'm going to be going to Rhode Island coming in June. June 3rd to the 5th, I believe, something like that. 6th, June 3rd to the 6th. We're going to be in Pawtucket, Rhode Island for that weekend. Going to be up there. Going to do a podcast with some of my Rhode Islanders. You know, some of the boys up there, you know, that want to talk to me, because they live a couple different lifestyles than I do. You know, they're very interesting fellas. Can't wait. They're a whole nother breed of human being, and I have quite an extensive, family up there that I'm going to go see. The girlfriend will be with me, so she'll be on the podcast, I'm sure. If she doesn't like it, tough shit. She's going to do it anyhow, because I wear the pants in the family. She'll even admit that. I think, maybe I'm getting myself in trouble. I don't know. We'll find out here in a few, I think, because she has landed. The eagle has landed. She should be calling shortly. So I think it's probably best that we cut this one at, what are we at here? 44 minutes. Not bad being able to blab myself and tell you guys a little bit about myself for the next 40 minutes. Last 40 minutes you've listened to me jibber jabber about myself and things that I've done, and we will delve deeper into my past and present and future, and who knows, you know, you got to hear things that I've dealt with on a daily basis. You know, stupid people, it's a whole nother subject. Like I said, thank you for stopping by, checking out the podcast. Check out Podomatic.com, MadBallsMadcast.podomatic.com. The blog site, you know, you can go on to MadBallsMadcast.blogspot.com. That's my actual blog site. You can see some of my written work before I started doing the audio podcast. You know, subscribe to that. That's also all linked on the same RSS feed. So if you subscribe to the RSS feed, then you can find out when I'm blogging, when I'm typing, if there's anything new shit on there, you know, anything new on the website. You know, I'm going to try and talk to my buddy up in, you know, Rhode Island, hopefully see if I can get him to start maybe printing me some t-shirts, you know, because he's running a t-shirt website, but we're going to talk about that here over the next couple of months, you know, discuss hopefully maybe doing something with that. We'll see. You know, maybe some t-shirts, maybe something like that. Work on some actual bigger guests. I'm going to start emailing some bands, I think. Some friends that I know and some bands around here. And in the New York area, in Philly, Pittsburgh, you know. Out in the Wilkes-Barre area. There's a couple other people I know, some out there. And some New Jerseys. Go down to Maryland, maybe do some stuff down in Baltimore. Who knows? You know, if you're listening to the podcast and you're in the area, and you wanna you're interested in you know maybe doing a guest interview or anything like that. You know, and you're in the Philly, Pittsburgh, Williamsport, anywhere in New York. I mean, I'm kind of in the central area. I can get to any one of those places pretty quickly. You know, I'm willing to meet, you know, I'm very informal, so, you let me know, contact me through the website, through Twitter, you can get me at Madballs, at MadBallsMadcast, you know, hit me up, let me know, later suckers.